It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. You can call us, as you just heard, at 636-1350. That's 636-1350. And you can also call us down at the office at 707-544-9006. That's 544-9006. Rachel, you're now doing family law.
Yes, I am. It's been an adventure, and it's been very rewarding. I'm enjoying it quite a bit more than I thought I would. I mean, I thought it would be an interesting one, but it's a lot more complicated than a lot of people understand. And for me, that works. I really enjoy looking into the complexities of the law. There's a lot of case law, a lot more than in civil law, believe it or not. And it's just been really rewarding so far.
You've done different types of family law. There's adoptions, there's dissolutions of marriages.
You know, some of the questions that have come up real recently, I mean, sure, I've got your average divorce, but then there's, you know, the crossover with bankruptcy and divorce. Sometimes that becomes an issue and we have to work with a bankruptcy attorney. Sometimes there are tax issues and we'll work with a tax attorney. There are some interesting custody issues when you've got custody across state lines or in different areas. So jurisdiction and venue, which are, you know, kind of a given most of the time. In most of our cases, it's not even much of an issue, but in family law, it becomes an issue more often than you'd like. And sometimes you have to change your venue, which means where you bring the case, what county you bring it in within California or what state you bring it in. And of course, always the support issues are always those types of things. Can you get back support? Can you get support from somebody who can't be found? How do you get custody when your other spouse, the other parent, has disappeared and you don't know where they are? You know, stuff like that. So it's been pretty interesting. And division of assets is always, you know, a lot of times that's the most important aspect, and trying to get people what they need. Restraining orders are not uncommon, and luckily I have a real good background in that. I also have a really good background in civil procedure, so it's interesting to work with some of the other family lawyers that don't understand procedure as well as I do. You know, I was consulting with another attorney on a case, and she was saying, well, you have to serve with the papers. I'm like, no, you don't. This is an amicable marriage, and all you have to do is send a notice and acknowledgement to him. He'll sign it and send it back. And then once he appears, you've served him. So you don't have to hire somebody and pay the money to have him served. So there are little things like that that I know, or serving somebody by publication. If you know what county they're in, but you can't find them what county you think they're in, but you don't know where they are, you can serve them by publication. So, and a lot of attorneys don't really understand that kind of concept. So I have some real good tools at my disposal to work with these issues.
So folks, if you have a family law question, please give Rachel a call down at our office at 544-9006, 544-9006. Now, Rachel, we're going to talk a little bit about a subject that is, you know, sometimes people don't want to hear, probably don't even understand, and that's, you know, bad clients.
Well, here's how I wanted to approach this, actually. I came up with this topic because we've had a lot of incidences, and this is really meant as levity, not as, let's bash on anybody. But I just wanted to let you know that there's a lot of times when you research an attorney on Yelp or whatever, and you see what kind of reviews they have. And most attorneys don't have a lot of reviews. Clients just don't tend to do that like they do with restaurants and stuff. But But what's funny is once in a while you'll see a bad review of an attorney. And so I wanted to kind of turn this around and go, you know what? There is a such thing as a difficult client, as a client that is really hard to work with. And so I wanted to kind of talk just briefly about some of the things that make clients really difficult for attorneys to work with, things that attorneys don't want to hear from you. So this will be a little primer. If you think you're going to need some legal services, listen to me now. Let me tell you what not to say to your attorney, because there are really big red flags that if I hear it come out of your mouth, I'm going to go, I don't know if I want to represent you. Or if I find out later, or if you see a bad review of an attorney, you need to really think about what really happened there.
So, I have a couple of big red flags. One, a client that has been to multiple attorneys.
Well, yeah, any attorney will say if they fired a prior attorney, you got to question pretty seriously that client. But I was looking at more like things that just drive attorneys mad. And one of them is when clients just think they can drop by. They don't make an appointment, or they're late for their appointment, and they think they can just pop in whenever they feel like it and interrupt what you're doing. Because a lot of times, even if we are in the office, we're probably working on a big project that needs our time and attention. So if you pop by, you're interrupting somebody else's time. So that's...
Yeah, I can't stand that. I can't stand somebody just dropping by the office.
Unless it's somebody that, you know, we're really close to by now, we're amping up for trial, it's your case, we're working with you, you know, that kind of thing I don't mind. But if you're just out of the blue, oh, I happen to be in the neighborhood, let's stop by and see the attorney and say, hey, how you doing? It's like, no, don't do that. Let's see. I can't even read my own writing. When a client comes and interviews with me, when they say, well, it's about the principle of the matter.
The principle.
Oh, boy, don't say that to yourself.
I'm not here for the money. I'm here for the principle.
Well, unless you have a lot of money to pay for your principle, I don't want to hear that. And it's not because I don't honor your principles. I do. It's just that that's not what the law is about. The law is not about your principles. It's about what happened and what evidence we can show and how we can prove your case. I don't care what you think is your principles. You can talk about that with me later, but in our initial interview, we're going to talk about what the law is, how it applies to your case, what you want to have done, and if it's just about the principle of the matter, go find somebody else. That's not what it's about from the lawyer's perspective.
You know, somebody said to me recently, I'm trying to negotiate their case and trying to reach a settlement, and she said, that's not even going to buy me a ski boat, or that's not even going to buy me a mobile home.
Or a BMW. It's like, that is not what this is about. Well, we're not trying to buy you your BMW, your ski boat, or whatever it is you think you deserve.
Yeah.
You know, I deserve this or I deserve that. No, this is about, what was your injury? What can we prove? What is the evidence going to show? How strong is it? And, you know, how are we going to reach an agreement? And then that kind of segues into the worst thing that you can ever do with your attorney. The worst thing. And this actually happened to us just recently. This happened to us. And I'm telling you, I am livid. I am livid about this. We had a client that lied. You don't ever lie to your attorney, ever, for any reason. You have to come clean. You have to tell them everything bad about whatever is the issue. I mean, I don't care if you had an affair 20 years ago. I don't care about that. But if you lie about something that could affect your credibility, that could affect the way people, let's say you're in trial and this comes out in trial and it makes you look like you're a liar, you're done. You're getting zero, and you should get zero. If you're lying to your attorney and you're not being full disclosure about something that could affect your credibility, and we had somebody directly lying on a point, and I'm not going to say what the lie was about, but it was a big one affecting her credibility, and she did not disclose that to us. And, those things don't always come out real easily for us. So we find out later while we're in negotiation to get the thing done, and she's going to complain about the settlement. And we're going, look, lady, you don't take this settlement. This lie comes out, you're done, and you're getting zero. So don't ever do that.
Don't lie to your attorney.
Don't lie to your attorney, ever. Because, you know, ordinarily, if we weren't as far along in the case, I would have just told her to get out of my office. Just, if you lie to me, just go away. I don't want have anything to do with you. Because it affects my credibility. And your attorney's credibility is everything. Especially in a small community like this where you kind of know everybody. So, and then the last one that is really, really difficult, unless you're on paying your attorney hourly, which I don't, if you're paying me hourly, you can do this all you want. But the people that just call up to complain or whine or, you know, they're talking about they had a bad day or whatever, you know, that happens a lot in family law. And I don't mind in family law because those whinings are generally pretty darn valid and pretty darn necessary. And as long as it's pertinent to the case, and also you're paying me hourly for it. So I really don't mind that. That's fine. And I'll listen to you and I'll give you my best advice. And sometimes, you know, I can really lead you the right way. But if you're just calling because, I don't know, it's raining and you're depressed and, you know, whatever, that's not really helpful. If it's helpful to your case, we want to hear it. If it's not helpful to your case, you know, save it for your brother or your best friend or somebody. But so those are some of the things that are difficult for attorneys. Is there anything we've missed that you can think of off the top of your head, Charlie?
No, I think that that covers it for now.
Yeah. So we just wanted to say, from a lawyer's perspective, clients can be difficult too. And we love most of our clients. We have great relationships with most of them, but occasionally you get somebody that's difficult to deal with.
We've become great friends with a lot of our clients.
Oh, yeah. We've had some over to our Christmas dinners and, you know, gone to wine tastings with them. And yeah, sure, we get to be good friends with some of them. Been to people's house for dinner. You know, it's all great. But every once in a while, you get somebody. Or here's a really funny one. We had a lady who came to us after being refused by, I think it was three or four attorneys that just said, no, I don't want to take your case. It's too complicated. We're not going to be able to prove anything. And she came to us and literally cried in the chair because nobody would take her case. And I didn't want to take it. I said, no, I don't want to do this. It's going to be too much work for not enough gain. And Charlie said, no, let's take it. We'll advocate for this. So we took the case, ended up getting the lady a $100,000 settlement, and she was unhappy. I'm just like, okay, you know, sometimes no matter what you do, it's never good enough.
You know, that reminds me back to the Yelp thing about, yeah, you know, you got, we reached an extraordinary settlement for this lady.
I've mentioned this one before.
Yeah.
The one down in Monterey.
We reached an extraordinary settlement for this lady and her husband, who had nothing to do with the case. Her husband posted a bad Yelp review on us.
Yeah. Well, I responded to it and just kind of said, you know, this is what really happened. And, you know, it's hard to know how to deal with that because clients often don't understand how much you've put into something. And then when you're trying to reach a settlement and you're, you know, things start really coming together because you get a little bit here over years, a little bit here, a little bit there. And over years, you know, things change and things start coming together. And then sometimes they don't come together the way you thought they would. And then something weird happens and, you know, it's just, yeah.
So do you have a legal question? If you have a legal question, give us a call at 636-1350. That's 636-1350. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Laura Ingram, and I'm here weekdays 9 till noon, only on KSRO.
Hi, this is Rachel Erickson at Kornblum Cochran Erickson & Harbison with offices here in Santa Rosa and in San Francisco. You know us as your car accident and insurance claims attorneys, and now I am accepting family law cases. You can give me a call at the office at 707-544-9006 for all your divorce, custody, and spousal support needs. Give us a call.
For more information, go to kcehlaw.com. That's kcehlaw.com.
Attention, corporate America. 80% of the wealthiest people made their money by investing in real estate. Right now, real estate is making a huge comeback. If you are successful and have at least $20,000 in startup capital, pay attention.
Hi, this is Amy Keith. I'm one of the owners of FlipCheapHouses.com. Our typical member is from corporate America. Talented women and men making $100,000 to $200,000 a year, and they're tired of building someone else's business. Now they want to build their own family business. If you can give me at least 10 hours a week, I can show you how, without any financial risk, you too can flip cheap houses working from home. Help me help you. Log on to our website at help2017.com and watch a free webinar that will change your life. That's help, HELP2017.com, to watch a free webinar to change your life. That's help, HELP2017.com.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran here, live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. Today, so far, we've talked about bad clients, but we're going to kind of switch the subject over now and talk about this whole subject of tort reform.
How about let's go from difficult clients to bad law?
Bad law. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, people always think that they need tort reform.
And a lot of people don't even know what that means.
Well, yeah, well, what that means is that you're going to do something like you're going to, you know, abridge somebody's right to a jury trial or in favor of arbitration, or you're going to cap damages in some way, and that's going to slow down your premium rate.
Your insurance premiums. Let me just put it this way. What we do as attorneys for the public, meaning
the consumer.
I don't ever like the term consumer because it sounds like, oh, you're going and consuming products at Walmart or something. And that's not what we mean. We mean you, the general person out there living their lives, working their jobs, having their families, the average person. We represent you. We don't represent corporations, companies of any type. We represent the person. So what the companies try to do, and it happens all the time, and the insurance industry is the biggest culprit, is they are always trying to say, well, we're going to limit the rights of the people. We're going to limit your right to a fair trial. We're going to limit your right to a jury. We're going to limit a right to your damages. We're going to limit all of your rights that you're supposed to have. And we're just going to say, you know, and what they do is they sell it to you. They sell it to you as, oh, the trial lawyers are greedy. Like, it's all about the lawyers being greedy, when it's like, no, we're trying to protect your rights as people. And there's a whole bunch of attorneys called the greedy trial lawyers or the consumer attorneys that are all greedy and out for just what they can get. And I will be honest, there are some that are. But most attorneys that do what we do are really out there to protect your rights, to make sure that there is a fair system of justice and to keep it fair. And what's happening is that is eroding. So this whole concept of tort reform is to reform the law to impede your rights as a person in the general public.
Now, a classic example of that is something we did 40 years ago, which is enact something called MICRA, Medical Insurance Compensation Reform Act. That's MICRA. And oddly enough, it was sponsored by our own Senator Barry Keene. And he authored it. And Jerry Brown was the governor at that point. Yeah, that's true. Our own governor, Jerry Brown, signed it into law.
And the whole concept was, we're going to cap damages on medical malpractice because insurance premiums for medical malpractice insurance for the doctors is too high. So if we make it so that somebody who's injured by a doctor can't get more than $250,000 in general damages.
And what are general damages?
Hold on. Let me finish the sentence first. If we cap a person's general damages to $250,000, they can never get any more for pain and suffering, then the insurance premiums for the doctors will reduce and stay reduced. Doctors can stay in business. There are people that want to become doctors. And it's like, no, this is all the insurance company. It has nothing to do with people wanting to become doctors. It's the insurance company saying, we don't want to pay out claims.
Right.
That's what that's about.
And the problem is that, you know, in some cases it does work. In some cases. But, you know, there are a lot of cases where, let's say, I have a case right now in the office where Kaiser committed atrocious malpractice.
Blatant malpractice.
Yeah.
And they're all, let me just point out to you that there has never been a defendant in my practice, nor has there in Charlie's practice, that actually admits fault before trial. They never admit that anything's their fault. They always hedge around it. They always try to you know, sidestep the issue. You really have to hold the gun to their heads. And in this case, they're as close to admitting it before we hit arbitration than I've ever seen.
And in this case, the poor lady is a quadriplegic, and she can only get $250,000 in pain and suffering damages.
And pain and suffering damages, that's general damages. And why they call it general is because it's a general category. We call it pain and suffering, but it's pain, suffering, grief, depression, anger, embarrassment, all of the emotional component that comes from being stuck in her bed, not being able to move, having to have somebody, you know, clean her diaper, having to roll her every so often because she can't roll herself. She can't get out of bed. She can't wash herself. She can't feed herself. And the most she can get for pain, suffering, anger, depression, all of those things, the most she can get is $250,000. And how old is she, Charlie?
50.
So she's got a good many years ahead of her.
And the thing is, you know, that's been $250,000 has been the cap on medical malpractice for 40 years.
Never an increase. Never. Not one increase. Not for inflation. Not for anything.
And so we had an opportunity to increase that amount.
A couple years ago.
A couple of years ago on the ballot. And what did the insurance industry do? They came after the greedy trial attorneys.
Yeah, and made it look like it was all attorney
stuff.
It's
all trying to, you know, these trial attorneys.
They're greedy. They're greedy. It has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, this poor woman, you know, let's say she wants to go to the park. How is she supposed to go to the park? How is she supposed to go get out of her house? You know, she can, you know, it's like, so what we're doing, what you have to do in these cases is say, okay, if you're not going to pay for, you know, her pain and suffering, you have to pay to take care of her. So, you know, buy her a wheelchair and buy her, you know, that she can guide with her mouth, buy her a wheelchair accessible van. But of course, they haven't done that. So it's been, what, 2 years now that she's just laying there in bed while her husband tries to find ways to get the house so that they can get a wheelchair in and out of the house, and, you know, and they don't have any money to do that.
$250,000
is the cap.
That's
all they can get. So why we're bringing this up is because now what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it so that in any personal injury case at all, whether it's a car accident, an airplane accident, a slip and fall, somebody accidentally shoots you in the head, whatever it is, they want to cap your damages, your general damages, at $250,000. They want to institute a new law that says, for any case.
We're talking about the insurance industry and corporations. We're talking about the insurance industry,
which has a huge lobby. And when this comes up for ballot vote, I guarantee you, you're going to be seeing ads about greedy lawyers, greedy attorneys. It has nothing to do with greedy attorneys. It has everything to do with, do you really, really want to limit yourself to $250,000 for your pain and suffering and grief and sorrow and depression should something like this happen to you,
and
or
be
your wife or your husband or your brother or your sister, your mother, your father, your child, for heaven's sake.
And be bound to binding arbitration.
Which means you don't even get a jury to talk about. Now, let's say you took one of these cases in front of, let's say with the PI, because you with the medical malpractice, it's binding arbitration. You don't get a jury. So let's say in the personal injury realm, you take one of these cases to the jury, and the jury says, wow, that is atrocious. This woman is entitled to $15 million. The court's going to say, well, sorry, no, she isn't. It's worth $250,000. That's what happens. That's how this, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Let's say an arbitrator in the medical malpractice arena says, no, this case is worth $85 million and that needs to be paid. Guess what? No, it gets knocked down to $250,000. That's how it works. And so as you listen to And the reason this comes up is that we are now having a Republican president, and, you know, there's a lot of Republican stuff going on. It tends to be the conservative Republicans who are very, very financially conservative.
Pro-insurance.
And they try to, you know, start slipping this stuff in. And, you know, everybody that listens to the show knows that we're not a political show. So we're not getting into politics.
Well, we're political sometimes. I kind of leak over.
Yeah, well, once in a while we have to. But it's not technically a political show. You have to agree with that, don't you, Charlie? We're not a political show.
That's right.
But every once in a while, you do have to be aware of the political arena that we're in and what some of the things that you can expect to see coming up. And this is going to be one of them. And you're going to be seeing a lot of plays at trying to infringe upon your rights as a person. So when you start seeing these commercials that are, you know, casting blame on people that are trying to protect your rights, I hope that you will listen to this and talk to people about this and really, you know, put your mind to if this should, because we can't say to a jury, put yourself in that person's shoes.
Yeah, we are not allowed to say that.
That's one of the worst thing, you cannot do that. They'll declare a mistrial. You have to start over. So you cannot say, put yourself in that person's shoes. You can't say that in a jury trial, but darn, I can say it on the radio, and I am saying it to you today. Put yourself in these people's shoes, because it does happen, and it happens, and it's awful, and it's horrible. And do you really want this to happen to you? So next time when we try on the ballot to get this rid of this micro thing, and we're not trying to say, oh, you should get rid of it entirely. We're just saying increase it for inflation. You know, come on, take into consideration inflation. And at this point in time, I think the inflation would have the cap at like 1.2 million. It'd still be a cap, but it'd be 1.2 million instead of 250,000. And that's just increasing for inflation over the last 40 years.
Yeah, the thing about the capping and all of that, let's first remember this. Number one, in a criminal trial, you have a right to a jury trial in every state in the United States. But in a civil trial here in California, by the California Constitution, you're given a right to a jury trial. And the big corporations in the insurance industry are trying to take that right away from you. It's that simple. They're trying to take that right away from you. And we have to stop that. That's why Rachel and I are members of the California Consumer Attorneys, because we have to protect your rights. I'm Charlie Cochran, and this is Rachel Erickson, and we've been here talking to you, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.